Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
As we get ready to flip the page into September, the days are running out between now and November 3rd. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, thanks for joining us. It is a sprint. Forget the marathon. That's over. There is no marathon. So the conventions are over. The Dems were way done. The Republicans way done. And it's really about rallying that base when you do a convention. Did anybody else get convinced? Did they flip to another party, another decision? Who knows? We know that the president accepted the GOP nod with a big crowd that was there at the District of Columbia on the White House lawn, the South Lawn. And Joe Biden did his nominating thing in his hometown of Delaware with only a handful of reporters. So two different kinds of acceptances. But, of course, one is the guy in the White House. That makes sense. That there would be a different feel to it no matter what happened. Although the president has gotten attacked for using the White House as a backdrop, I think no matter that everybody's moving on, and it's a battle for what happens on November 3rd. It's interesting because if you look at what Biden said in his acceptance speech, he said American dream feels as if it's slowly slipping away because of the policies and actions of the incumbent president. I don't need to tell you that. You feel it every single day in your own lives. And he said that the battle for the soul of the nation is on the ballot. Trump used similar words in a fundraising appeal on Friday and talked about this is the most important election day that you'll ever see. This is the most important election you'll ever see in your life. So way less than 70 days to go. Millions of dollars will flow in ads. There's going to be four televised debates, and then it'll be election day. And then the question of mail ballots is dividing people in parties and around parties, and the president's strategy with mail ballot definitely is divider for some Republicans. It's interesting, the 538.com average of national surveys gives him an edge of 9 percentage points, Biden that is, over Trump, 51% to 42%. And Biden holds supposedly single-digit leads in some crucial places, but not according to a recent poll that came out that shows something different, saying that the president actually leads in the key battleground states. And this was the Democracy Institute Sunday Express poll, and they're saying that the president holds the lead. He holds the lead over the former VP in Florida, Iowa, Michigan, Minnesota, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, which is exactly the opposite of what the 538.com poll says, where those key states, the Michigans, the Pennsylvanias, Wisconsins, etc., Florida, that Biden's got the lead there. So the stock market is up, but unemployment is high. The repercussions of the pandemic, of course, are being felt. The idea of, is there going to be a vaccine? What happens? The responses to whatever the issues are those. And will Biden ride an anti-Trump wave to capture the presidency? Or does the president solve the riddle of the coronavirus, the stock market's up, and do people reelect the president? I mean, this is the options. This is it. And we have a sharp divide. America is completely polarized. That's it. I mean, completely different lenses, completely different ways to look at things, completely different ways to envision what's going to happen with what happens in our next election. So I think one of the things that we can all look at is I think it's going to be a mess. It's going to be a mess. I remember the Gore Bush, George W. Bush. Remember the hanging chads and the waiting and the count, all that. Remember that. So there was no declared winner. There was, and then there wasn't. Remember how that was and how people were on edge about that. I think we could see something similar. We could see this really play out in very strange ways. Especially if there's questionable ballots, which there could be, there's likelihood for sure. I mean, it's going to be a chaotic nightmare legally and politically speaking. I mean, game on, but I don't think this is going to be just a smooth thing. We live in a period of uncertainty, and I think the whole voting thing is going to be uncertain because of the mail-in ballots, part of that, because of the mail-in ballots. So the idea that we're going to have a winner on election night, I don't think so. I don't think we're going to have that. I hope I'm 100% wrong. Hope. But that's not a good strategy. I think I'm absolutely right. And so much of it is going to... It's going to center around votes being counted, all of that. We'll see. I mean, as much as election officials and precinct heads can plan for what they think they're planning for, I don't know that they... We're going to at least have an election, right? In 60-plus days. And we're either going to have our fourth president in a row who gets back-to-back terms, or we're going to have someone new in the White House, and it's Joe Biden, which I think of all the people, if you had asked me just a couple of years ago, hey, you know, after the president was in office, President Trump was in office for 2 years, who do you think the Democrats are going to vote? I never would have said Joe Biden. I never would have picked Joe Biden, no way. I would have said, okay, I would have looked at different dynamic younger people, I guess, in the Democratic Party, but he's the guy, so it's one of two choices. And either 1600 Pennsylvania is not going to see any moving vans, or it's going to have a whole lot of them lined up. And look at the polls and look at the difference in that and what the two different polls are saying. Are you tempted to take a trip somewhere where it might not be safe? Could you be lured to a beach if the price was right? One of the many things we're going to be talking about in our next version of We Can Count. I'll meet you on the other side.
Ready for what's next? It's likely coming. More food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not, but you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your 4-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. Starvation or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. There's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot Preparedness Company. MyPatriotSupply.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A 1-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
We kick off this version of We Can Count with this. Cabo San Lucas and San Jose del Cabo started to reopen to tourists. They had a huge advertising campaign a couple of weeks ago that talked about the natural beauty of the area and also with coronavirus recommendations. Wear a mask, one ad said. They flashed to a video of a woman snorkeling, practicing social distancing, and then the display of an image of a lone surfer. I've spent some time in Cabo when I lived in California. There, in fact, there's a bar owned by Van Halen singer Sammy Hagar, Cabo Wabo, and they reopened and they said Mas Tequila. That's what the mural said that they put up. And anyway, there were shops that sold My First Vacation After COVID. The feeling is that people would trickle back into Los Cabos, and were people doing that? There were people that started to fly, and some of the city's hotels hired doctors as consultants, the precautions, you know, all that whole kind of thing to try to pull people back in. And why are they desperate to do that? Because just like everybody else in the tourist industry, which is so much money in every single state in the United States, and places like a Cabo San Lucas, areas outside of the borders of the U.S., Cabo's economy, 80% of it is tourism. It's the engine, period. It is the third biggest contributor to the GDP at 9%. And during the pandemic, that number dropped pretty much to zero. So international flights into Cabo, main source of visitors, down 93% from last summer. And, you know, they have these clean beaches and the waves. And, I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful place. But you look at this virus and what's happened, and you think of Disney World being shuttered. You think of Times Square with no people walking around. I know you're listening to me in places where somewhere tourism matters in your state. And how do you bring people back in when we're still in this big question mark, this fluctuating moment in time? It's pretty tough. And I think now it's a matter of survival. Who's going to survive and who just cannot? That's like these restaurants and these businesses that are just so crushed, they have no choice. I mean, famous places, because it's not about that. It's about nobody's coming. And you can't have people come in some cases, and you're trying to figure out, what do you do? So the Mexican beaches are trying to lure people back. If they can get on a plane, if they're allowed to travel, and they're not being blocked flying from there into their whatever particular city is, because, of course, there's Acapulco and there's other resort areas in Mexico, well, then that's the whole thing. But it's interesting, while they're trying to build that back up, you look at the protocols in some other places, and a lot of the protocols are being tightened. France, they walk a weird tightrope, and they're trying to revive their economy, but they're seeing a flaring of the coronavirus. New infections, more than 7,000 new cases reported heading into the weekend, so they got a strict lockdown. They want to keep the number of deaths and hospitalizations low, because they've been low. Oh, tough. We're in this town because we are not going to lose more of our economy. If we don't do that, that's what we got to do. So masks were mandatory for companies with groups working in enclosed places, any of that. And there are a few exceptions. Students over 11 years old had to cover their faces when returning to school. That's what they're saying. President Macron is trying to avoid complete lockdown, but saying they're not ruling it out because we're looking at a recovery package. Their economy shrank by 14% during the second quarter. Everybody's feeling this. And it's a question. The Tour de France started in Nice on Saturday. I know, because the Hubs is getting up at 5:30 to watch it. He's getting up at the crack of dawn to watch this thing. So anyway, they had a two-month delay, and the riders they have huge, strict protocols in place. The riders have to wear masks. They're wearing masks as they climb in these mountain stages, which, wow, that's got to be difficult. I just would think, even whatever, ventilated, et cetera, it would have to be tough. But, I mean, this is it. This is exactly live. And there's reasons why, because you see what's working and then suddenly it isn't working. At first you're okay. I mean, you look at Hawaii, and a couple of months ago they had the fewest cases in the country at like two dozen a day or so, and you could say, well, that's Hawaii, but this is again another tourist place, heavily dependent on tourism. And then all of a sudden they got a tenfold surge in coronavirus infections and hospitalizations, and so they got shutdown orders, and they had to scramble to figure out, what are we going to do? And they had to do lockdown. And then the problem was, again, in the reopening, people feeling comfortable, the complacency, the social distancing that wasn't happening. And so at first they were a super, super success story. And sadly, then they went in the other direction. And they're trying desperately to put themselves back on the right footing so they don't get stuck. All right, moving to something else completely different. I shouldn't say completely different, but somewhat different. I guess it's different, right? Let's talk about this. How about the craziness with the Falwell deal? And Jerry Falwell Jr. I'm talking about. And this is a guy who at Liberty University was delivering the goods for a lot of people, meaning like in 2016, he really embraced the president, and that helped with certainly evangelical Christians, etc. And now you've got this fall from grace. I mean, hey, we're human, right? Things happen, and you're going to see people fall, but this is an epic fall from grace. And there are a lot of Christian conservatives that I've talked to who are wondering, wow, what's going on? What's going on with the moral majority? How do we build this up? And you think of looking at the allegations of the affair, his wife's affair, and then even worse allegations that he watched with a pool boy and his wife. Wow, it's like reads like a steamy script for some Lifetime movie that's a little more R-rated. But Jerry Falwell Jr. helped what his father did initially in bringing conservative Christians into the Republican kind of fold. And, you know, and you think about the 70s, and then you think about Falwell's moral majority and how that became ultimately that became so important. So now, watching this is interesting to see with Falwell Jr. and Liberty University, and he definitely was a great speaker and had that political power, I guess. And, he was a guy who wasn't a minister, but he definitely had the gift. He definitely had a gift of speaking, but he was more the lawyer and the college administrator. And, Liberty went from a very small school to a powerhouse with $1.6 billion endowment. That's what they have. And more than 100,000 students. A lot of them online, but 100,000 students. That is big. And now that you've got this scandal that engulfed them, which is why he resigned, and they're just trying to deal with the fallout of who comes in after Falwell Jr., because things seemingly were running smoothly. And now, obviously, they're not. When you talk about running smoothly, I'll tell you what, our last one, the South Carolina fire chief in Columbia, said it seemed like we were at Mardi Gras, because over the weekend they had to break up a massive pool party. Come on, kids, what are you thinking? They say maybe 1,000 kids were there. Oh, with all these coronavirus cases, my. Stay with us.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamG'day.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamG'day.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamG'day.com with Longevity. TeamG'day.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The mayor of Portland, Ted Wheeler, is sending out a strong warning to protesters.
We have to all stop the violence.
He sent out the message after protesters clashed on Saturday night. Supporters of President Trump and left-wing groups erupted in violence, resulting in one death.
For those of you saying that you plan to come to Portland to seek retribution, I'm calling on you to stay away.
Acting Homeland Security Chief Chad Wolf.
We've been asking Portland to do their job really for over 3 months now. What you see in Portland is an environment. They foster an environment of this lawlessness and chaos. We've been asking the governor and others to send in the National Guard to address the violence so that you don't have dueling demonstrations. You don't have this violence.
Chad Wolf was on CBS's Face the Nation. This is USA Radio News. The director of National Intelligence, John Radcliffe, says he's changing the way he's informing Congress of foreign threats before the November election.
What we won't be doing is all member briefings to all members of the House and all members of the Senate. We've tried that, and the information hasn't been protected.
Radcliffe was on Fox News Sunday Morning Futures. Radcliffe said he would no longer give in-person briefings about election security and foreign election interference to the House and Senate Select Committees on Intelligence. Senator Amy Klobuchar reacting on ABC's This Week.
I think the House is going to have to subpoena the Director of Intelligence in order to get information, which is crazy. We are just a few months out of a major election, and I have already experienced this White House blocking my bipartisan election security bill, which would have helped us years ago to beef up our efforts.
The committees still have access to written, finished intelligence reports. You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
How lucky can one guy be?
I can't tell you how excited I am to talk to Maggie Richardson, because she's tackled something that's really, really tough, to tell the story of an extraordinary human being. I mean, Ross Hutchinson, dancer, singer, TV personality, actor, choreographer, producer, writer, broadcaster, teacher, raconteur, a harness horse race driver, which I know all about that with my family background, trainer, breeder, he's really into horses, master of ceremonies, justice of the peace, reverend minister, and promoter for so many charities and things that he's done for so many people.
Stop a minute. His name is Hutchison.
Yeah. So Hutchison, not to be confused, Hutchison. Ross Hutchison is incredible. And the book that she's written is called The Sky is Not the Limit, Talent is Only the Beginning. So, Maggie, for you, how did this journey begin? How did you get the job of telling the story of this incredible person?
I started the Australian Small Business Centre in Sydney, and one of my students there said to me, I've got a friend out at Penrith that could use your help. So I went for a drive out to Penrith, which is about an hour on the freeway on a good day, and there was a meeting there of people who had started spiritual churches, and Ross had gathered them all together because he wanted to make it a common thing that people that ran a church had certain standards, and that they, with the money they collected, went into a central pool and not to the person that started the deal and all that kind of thing. And he said, we were just looking for a cup of tea or something, and he said to me, what do you do? And I said, oh, I write. And he said, oh, good, you can write my book. And I thought, oh, fair enough. Right, and then about 2 years later, Nothing happened in that 2 years. In that 2 years, a friend and I went out to a meditation session at Penrith, at his church area. And when we finished, I said to her, look, I just want to hang around and just talk to Ross for a little while, because he's such a lovely man, you just want to talk to him all the time. Anyway, he said they're going to have a church service. So I said, okay, I'll sit in on that. I'm standing up the back there, and he's got 10 or 15 people in front of him, and he's got his robes on and everything. He said, good morning, everybody. That lady over in the corner, standing over the corner there, that's Maggie, and she's going to write my book. And I'm going, oh, I better get my finger out. Because 2 years had passed, and I had done nothing, because I, you know, like, wasn't, it was all in the blue. And from that point, we arranged that he would talk to me for an hour, and I would go each week, and I would go down to Penrith. But it doesn't work like that exactly, because when he's there, people are constantly ringing him. So I would be there for an hour trying to get a word in edgeways or to get a question in sideways, and he would be answering questions from all over the place. And I said, okay, after this isn't going to work, so what I want you to do is you ring me at home, I will sit in front of the computer, I will type everything you say, and then I will correct it and whatever and fiddle with it to try and figure out how I can present it. And that's what I did from that point on. But I sort of wasted a lot of time because I thought I could get a word in each way, in his world, but I couldn't. Anyway, he was telling me about bits and pieces, and I was trying to put them in. I thought, I can't put them in the chronological order because he's doing everything at once. He's going out and he's going on the stage, and he's over there learning another different type of dance movement. And he's going over there doing a charity run for clothes. So everything sort of was happening at once, and I had to try and get it into some sort of sequence. So I'd show where he was doing, say, a ballet class in the morning, learning, and he would be going in the afternoon. He would take a character part in a play that was on, and then he would grab a bit of tea, and then he would go to nighttime and do another part in a different play. And he was the Danny Kaye of my world. And he is a bit like that, you know, just all the time. And then we started putting together, you know, what had happened through his life. And he started when he was four. He wandered onto a stage when his mother was shopping the mall next door, and they asked him what he wanted to do, and he said, sing. And they said, what do you want to sing? And he said, Yellow Bird. And when he sang Yellow Bird, the crowds cheered. He was a four-year-old on stage singing this lovely song. Uh-huh. And in that moment, he decided that's where he wanted to be in his life, on stage, doing the best he could, singing and dancing. So his parents sent him to every different sort of dance there was, even the Bolivian one. And he learned this and different things. They took him down to the beach to ride a horse, and he loved his horses. And so he ended up being a choreographer in some major shows, as well as being part of the major shows.
When you look at doing this and pulling a man's life together like Ross's, and like you said, boy, because he did everything to have that continuity with it, you had to be pretty excited once this was wrapped up, once you had this biography under your belt, because you're a good writer. You've written a lot of other things, but a biography is different. Did you feel pretty good about
how you everything's pulled it? Different.
Yeah. Did you feel pretty good about how you pulled it together?
Yeah, it was a challenge. It really was. Because, like, the other things I've written, like a business books, like a textbook for business, and poetry books, and a play, little play one time I wrote and produced, four-person play for a competition for the CWA. And since I've got the book out, of course, I've written a script for this play, for this film.
Yeah.
So, he, every time I talked to him, he would be telling me something else. And he would be dropping names, and he'd say it was John, and then he couldn't remember the last name. So it was my job to, next time we got back on, think, can you remember the last name of the John that you were doing blah, blah, blah with, so that we could get the names right. And there's so many names in the book.
Yeah.
It's like a history of the book. And it's like when I was telling you about the advertising stuff he did, it's part of the history of Australia. Because at the time, the 79, 80, somewhere around about there, we were having this trouble with the gas company. Not me in particular, but the people who supplied the main gas were being competed against by a new company who were looking at coal seam gas, and it looked like they could top them until they pulled Ross into the picture. The head guy of the gas company called Ross and said, this is our problem. I want you to create a TV commercial and some sort of show that goes around. I'll pay all the costs, whatever it is, I'm paying. We've got to do this. So Ross created the ad for the TV, but what he also did was created a mobile stage that was made out of Perspex, and it all looked like a gas stove, and it had to be constructed at each place. So they would take it to shopping centres, to clubs, to major events and everywhere. They take this thing, and they had a group of dancers who were maybe 8 to 10 dancers who were all dressed in blue, like the blue flame, and it was called the Living Flame.
Yeah.
They would dance on this stage. Now, he did this, he travelled with this show for years, and then finally the gas company that hired him said, we have to put a stop to it because we have 5 years of orders ahead of us, and we are never going to catch up.
Wow.
So, you know, that's kind of like how very successful he is.
Yeah, that's a testament to how successful he is. What do you hope people listening to this interview take away from the book, The Sky Is Not the Limit, Talent Is Only the Beginning, in Ross's story? What do you hope they take away?
Some sort of motivation, some sort of knowing that it doesn't matter who you are or how tall you are, you can do better than you're doing. You know, try a little something and step out and just help somebody that's needing help. Or sometimes it's just a smile. Ross has got such a lovely smile. And he greets everybody as if they're their long-lost friend. And I know I'm sort of struggling sort of with COVID, so I know how precious that is. So if, you know, you can look around you, you can try out something, you know, learn another language, learn the names of the neighbours and say hello as you go past. Just little things can make a lot of difference.
Boy, isn't that the truth. It is the perfect place to end this, and I'll be talking more about Maggie's book, The Sky Is Not the Limit, Talent Is Only the Beginning. It's just a beautiful story about Ross Hutchinson and the amazing things that he's accomplished in his life. And it's amazing that you pulled this wonderful biography together. So congratulations on that.
I think the first person that gave me feedback said, he is such an inspiration. Such an inspiration.
Such an inspiration is absolutely right, and that's why you have to read this story, no matter who you are or where you live. Maggie, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Drink
SuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Attention radio listeners, have you ever wanted to be independent of the utility companies and actually generate your own supply of off-grid electrical power? If so, this is going to be the most important message you'll ever hear. Here's why. A limited number of solar-powered backup generators are back in stock and now available. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no fumes, and produces an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running silently, secretly, in your own home. Run sump pumps, shortwave radios, computers, even keep food from spoiling. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more. That's MySolarBackup.com. Supplies are still limited and are available on a first-come, first-served basis only. MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Wow, our next guest has such an interesting story. Imagine a life in Africa where you feel disillusioned and you see people having some successes around you, and then you learn a lesson and you get this incredible confidence, especially from a father who's concerned, and you take that life and you go to England, and then you become a nurse, and your life starts to ebb and flow in lots of different directions. Elizabeth now joins us, and she's written a book called Dripping Water, and there's a story about dripping water, and we'll get to that. But Elizabeth, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Let's talk about what it was that made you decide, hey, I need to write this book to encourage other people. Were you thinking about it for a while and then finally decided, I've got to write this book?
I think the ambition which was put on me by my father and made me to be a person who aspires to do great things. And I remember as a small girl, when after my dad has spoken to me, having a depressed life, I thought one day when I grow up, I want to write a book about my life. It was just something which was on my mind, but I didn't know how to do it. Until I was grown, I started writing this book when I was 54 years old. That's when I wrote Dripping Water. So it was a message to tell the whole world.
About your story, that you and I talked about this off the air, to tell the world about your story. And your story, I said when I introduced you, is so powerful. So for everybody listening, tell us about growing up in this environment where everybody was being awarded, but you weren't. How hard was that?
Yeah, it was quite hard. And unfortunately, I think my parents didn't know that. They didn't realize that someone is suffering in silence. Okay, the story is about me growing up among, we were six, in a family of six, and all of them, they were so bright, and our school used to award those people who are bright at school, who take prizes from 1 to 3. They get awarded at school, and when you go home, my parents are so happy that their children are doing well in school, and they also award them with some presents at home. But unfortunately, I didn't reach that standard at school and at home, so it seemed like everyone was being awarded, and I am not.
And so your father sits you down, and he tells you the story of the title of the book, Dripping Water. Tell us that story.
Okay. So my dad noticed that something is not well. My daughter looks depressed. He sat me down, and he said, "Do you know if a tap is not tight well, and it's somehow loose, when it drips water, and it's above on top of a slab, if you visit that tap as it continues to drip that water, maybe months or years, you realize that the water has made a hole on the hard slab." So he told me that this is what can be in life. You might be that dripping water which is making changes slowly, that in future it will be noticed that you have done something.
Wow, I love that story, that it doesn't always happen automatically for everybody listening, that sometimes it is dripping water. So you take that to heart, and as you're growing up, then you make that leap to London. And what was it like to leave Africa and go to London and then pursue nursing?
It was like in those years, you know, it's like a brighter future were found in abroad. Were found in places like England or America. So, because my sister was already in England, it made it easier for me. As I told you earlier on, that I was now at the lowest of my life. I had divorced, and things seemed not to be working well. I had started a business which, unfortunately, at that time, it didn't go very well. So I really needed to start all over again. That's what made me to go to England.
Exactly. So then you go to England, you're thriving, you're a nurse, and it's interesting. In your book, like we talked about, you talk about what it took for you to be able to look at life a little bit differently. And I think there's such a powerful message in your book for other people. What do you want people to take away from reading your book?
Okay. What I really want people to take from my book is that if there are some storms in life, which can come across you, don't give up. Just keep on going on. Just keep on. Try other means. If the ones which you think are not, which you think you want, they are not working, just try other options. Like what I did, I tried to go to England, and I to train for as a nurse. So try. I want other people to have that not never give up spirit. And also, for me, because I'm a Christian, I believe, I really believe, I wouldn't have done it without the help of God.
So God has been a powerful influence in your life.
Yes.
Yeah, and clearly you can see that. You know, when you talk about you talk about growth and you talk about dripping water, and you know, as we move forward with this, I think there's just so many powerful takeaways. And I wanted you to tell the listeners about Africa. Do you think there's misconceptions about Africa, that there's things people just don't know about the country and how wonderful it is?
Definitely. Definitely. It looks, being an African, you know, at times you face a lot of emotional abuse from other races. You know, I don't know where it came from, where it originated from, that Africans are superior. They are inferior. They are not regarded as maybe like other races. Maybe is it because of general poverty in Africa? I don't know. But I tell you, the Africans are just as good as any other race. And the ones who work very hard, they also earn through their working. You see? So it seems there's a misconception from the world. The people of the world, they look down upon Africans. That's how I feel. Maybe I'm biased because I'm African. But I tell you, there is a lot of emotional abuse which happens.
Yeah, boy. I agree. It's such a beautiful country, too. And I think if more people had the opportunity to go, they would see just how amazing the people are and how interesting the country is. Elizabeth, now it's such a pleasure to talk to you. Dripping Water is a powerful book, and you can get it on Amazon. Did you have fun doing the book?
Yes, I really advise. Oh, you know, it's so wonderful writing a book. After you have written, you say to yourself, wow, did I really? I tell you, I've got another book on the line. There is another one which is with the publishers at the moment. And I also have got lots and lots of manuscripts which are waiting to be books as well.
I love it. Well, we can't wait to see what you do next. Elizabeth, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your story of dripping water.
Oh, thank you so much, Kate. It's a privilege and honor to be on your show.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.